on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the, Wednesday edition, June 3rd of InvestTalk. Appreciate it, June 3rd, 2015. Really appreciate you here. Welcome to the Wednesday edition, everybody. We are heard on the radio. You can hear us streaming live on investtalk.com. Our podcast subscribers hear us as whenever they feel like listening, and they do it all over the world, and we really appreciate those podcast listeners, so thank you very much. And this is our one-hour talk about your money. Of course, you have to hold up your end of the conversation. Not only do we welcome your calls, but I want to hear about other things. What do you have in your portfolio? How have you constructed it? Is it a growth portfolio, or are you being defensive? Is it an income portfolio? Do you have REITs, ETFs in it? Do you have bonds, bond ETFs? What do you have? Or maybe you want to talk about, I don't know, life insurance. Do you have life insurance? Whenever I talk to anybody about life insurance, I say, I always ask the question, well, why'd you buy it? What's it for? What is the reason you have life insurance? And if you have no good solid reason for it, why do you have it? And there's got to be a reason. The reason can't be all just because, you know, I want to, you know, make a lot of money. If my wife dies, I'll get a lot of money. Or my husband dies, I'll get a lot of money. No, that's not a good enough reason. It really isn't. To protect your children, to replace income, to pay off a mortgage, those are reasons. So we should talk about that. So, you know, being in the market is risky. I've told you that over and over and over and over. And you can control the risk. And that's one of the reasons why I want to know what's in your portfolio. The atmosphere of the marketplace is always changing. And how, you know, you're moving toward older age and retirement. I told you yesterday about the surveys saying that people who think they can work in retirement, many of them can't. Half cannot work in retirement. First of all, they may get laid off, or they may be sick, or they have to take care of somebody. So you may have the intention that I'm just going to work as I get older, I'm just going to keep working. You may not be able to. What happens then? How are you going to survive? So you got to understand, you got to start protecting yourself and understand the risk of everything, not just what your portfolio is, but what about different risks in life? You know, they're out there. Yeah, some of them are pretty minimal, and we don't have to worry about them because they're so small, but others are not. Like, you may not be able to work when you're old. That's a pretty high risk of that. So betting in the stock market, finding the next Netflix or Amazon isn't for those who don't like to take risks. Maybe you are one who likes to take risks. Okay, then you can try that. But as we move toward closer retirement, we don't need to do that. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be concerned more about income preservation with some growth, but not pure growth. When you're young, yeah, growth. You're after growth. So, but you can't keep money in a savings account, that's for sure. It makes nothing. You lose money to inflation. You can't do that. So you have to make decisions that are reasonable and risk-controlled. How about that? Risk-controlled. So, these are the questions we try to answer on this show each day. So give us a call. You can call right now, 888-99-CHART. As always, we want to answer any and all your money questions. Here's a question that came in between the programs.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's John from Gilbert, Arizona. Had a quick question about a stock, Costco. Just keeps going down, and I was wondering what your thoughts are on the stock. Thank you very much, and I love listening to you guys every day. Thanks.
Costco is one of my favorite companies, just so you know. I love going there. I probably go there once or twice a week. Always picking up stuff for my wife, it seems like. But I like Costco. I like them as a company fundamentally. I think that they're falling now. Okay, they were at $153.81 was the high, and that was back in late March, early April, and now they're at $142. It sounds like to me an opportunity is being presented. Not yet, because it's still falling. The reason why it's falling, nothing wrong with Costco. Earnings are going to keep going up. Sales are growing. The sales are slowing. The growth of sales is slowing, but they're still growing. The reason why it fell is it was expensive, too expensive. They're going to make $5.67 next year. It's a $142 stock. Okay, that's like 23, 24 PE. Should it be that high of a PE when the stock is growing in the low single digits in sales, the high single digits in profits? No, that's more than it's worth. See, the problem we have now is everybody's looking in a very with a short time frame saying, oh, well, this has been going up and it's really a good stock and it's been going up for a while, so therefore it'll keep going up. No, look at a longer time frame and say, okay, for this industry, what's a good PE? What is a good PE for a growing stock in this industry? What's a good PE for a flat growth stock for this industry? And I'm telling you, it should not sell more than 15 times earnings. But Costco has not sold less than 18 times earnings in the last 5 years. It has not. It's been at a premium for all that length of time. Okay, so let's give it the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, maybe it'll go to 18. I still think it's high, but let's say it's 18. What's 18 times $5.67? You see see how that works? It's not $142. It's overpriced. The stock is coming down because it's overpriced and because retail sales are not, consumers are not spending as much as they were. They're not active as much as they were. They've slowed their sales. I got spending numbers out for the most recent month, and it was flat month over month. You see, there's reasons why things fall, the reason why things go up. Costco, COST, everyone. I love the company. Don't get me wrong. I want to own this company. I'm happy that it's coming down. I want it to come down to a reasonable price so I can buy it. Want to know what the reasonable price is? Does, don't you? You want to know. I think it looks much more attractive around $130, $133. That's about an 8% more fall. And I'm just looking at a chart. I don't think we'll get it to 15 PE. I think we might get an 18. We'll see. Because of their ever-growing popularity, there's the potential for a serious problem. When something gets too popular, there could be a big problem down the road. I'm talking about alarm bells getting louder for bond funds. And you want to know why, I think, what those alarm bells are. I think you want to know. That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, online TV is changing the way we watch TV. And what does that mean for different sectors and different industries in that business sector? Talk about some of the stats already out this week. We had a bunch of stats out already, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I want to talk about that. And the likelihood of the Fed raising in September, is there good reasons to delay that decision? Because remember, at the beginning of the year, everybody thought they were going to raise them in June. It's June. I doubt seriously when they meet this month, they're going to do anything. But will they even do anything in September? Because that's what the market is gearing itself up, or already built in the possibility, the probability of a rate increase in later in this year, in September. And finally, I have a question from one of our listeners about a 401k. So I want to talk about the 401k plans at your work. And his was more specifically about, you know, what we call the default investment. In other words, we'll talk about that later. Automatic default investment that they have for those 401ks now. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. The market was up today. The Dow was up 66, the NASDAQ up 23, the S&P up 5. Why was the market upbeat? What happened today? Well, the only thing I saw before market that was kind of might have made it move was the ADP jobs report. Remember, the official jobs report's coming out on Friday. But the ADP, which is always comes out a few days before the official report, and it's only for private sector jobs, the ADP. And it was a little bit better than expected at $201,000, 201,000 new jobs for the month. Anything over 200,000 seems to be pretty good news. I think that might have spurred the market on earlier, in the, you know, before market, pre-market movement. We'll see. And then the market really, it did pretty well, but kind of got a little bit weaker. Still up for the day, but got a little bit weaker as the day went on after it peaked. So, you know, one day means very little. We're still, you know, struggling here to even make 1% in the S&P 500, you know, so far this year. And here we are 5+ months into the year and pretty much nothing to show for it. And we're moving into the more volatile part of the year. And did you know June, quote unquote, June is the worst, if I remember reading right, the worst performing month of the year. Mind you, that doesn't mean it will be down. It just means it's the worst performing month of the year historically, if you add up all the Junes. And I kind of feel like, well, how come it seems like October is the month that you have the big drops, and that's true. March is another big month of movement, but not necessarily the worst months. How to value foreign stocks compared to domestics. How to manage political and currency risk. How to factor in global economic changes. We're going to cover these and other topics, other parts of this topic tomorrow at our wealth webinar. Justin and I are going to help you plan a strategy. It's June 4th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow. You can register now on investtalk.com and it's free.
If you'd like to see the investment programs offered by KPP Financial, just go to the Investments tab on investtalk.com. Dynamic growth, active management for optimum returns, balanced income, steady yield for those who like less risk. Select growth and income programs, handpicked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. And the 401k solution, bringing exceptional professional money management to the masses. See these and the details on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Matthew in Kansas. How you doing, Matthew?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Hey, just one comment first. I'm a CPA, and I've listened to a few of your phone calls on clients that have IRAs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on the Roth IRAs, it is a five-year. Once you have the IRA open 5 years, you can withdraw any of the principal you put in tax-free. Mm-hmm. You just can't withdraw the income you've earned on the account.
You know, I looked at that today, and thank you for reminding me, Matthew. I appreciate it. I did. I looked at the law today, and if you roll a regular IRA into a Roth IRA, and you're over, if you are at 59 and a half or older, you can take it out immediately with no penalty. Before 59 and a half, you got to wait 5 years, just like you pointed out.
Correct.
Okay.
Now,
so
my question entails on a rollover IRA. Mm-hmm. My wife inherited one, and she's 30.
Okay, that's a rollover
so
IRA.
She has to take RMDs because her grandfather was over 70 and a half, so it's based off of her age.
It couldn't. So, now, this is, for everybody else, Matthew, this is called an inherited IRA. And they have
correct.
Different rules. And if I remember right, she has to take that money out like within 5 years. She could split it out over 5 years, if I remember right.
Tax-wise, you have two options. You can take all of it out over 5 years, or you can tell the person that's controlling the money that you want the RMDs based off of the inheritor's age instead of the owner's age. And if you do that, you can spread it over your life expectancy.
Ah, yeah.
So if you my question is, she's taking RMDs over her life, and she's, like you said, based off of 90. So since I take RMDs every year, do I base it off of 90, 10, stocks, bond, or do I
Every year, though,
There's more bonds since I have to take R&B.
Yeah, well, it's going to change every year. The percent is not going to stay the same.
Right. Just,
so, does she have to take it until she's 90? I don't. You know, I'm not an expert on these payout ratio things, but my guess is that it will be yes. The answer would be yes.
Correct.
But you need
to. How aggressive do I be in something I know I'm going to have to take this out of?
Well, I think I would be. You know, how old is she?
How 90% stock, 10% bond.
It depends on how old she is and how aggressive she wants to be. And I don't think it should depend on how much money you need required to take out. I think it more depends on what you want. And the younger she is, the more aggressive I think she should be. I think. Thanks for the call, Matthew. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART. We got a hard break. We'll be right back.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast and coming up on the next Invest Talk. There are plenty of benefits to investors, but if you're not sure whether this is the right opportunity for you, here are some facts to help. Four reasons why you should invest in foreign markets. That's our talking point for Thursday, June 4th. Please join us then.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk about something that no one is discussing, and that is about bond funds, ETFs, mutual funds, and their popularity, because everybody's trying to reach for yield and they know they can't get in CDs. So over the recent years, these types of assets have been growing. ETFs and bond funds, people have been pouring money into them. Okay? Especially the less liquid part of the bond market, high yield, corporate bonds, bank loans, and intermediate debt. Those kinds of things, because they pay higher yields. People have been pouring money into ETFs and bonds. Why am I saying this might be a problem? Well, think about this. You're buying an ETF of a junk bond fund, and so is everybody else, and there's so many other junk bond ETFs and junk bond mutual funds out there, and they've become very, very popular, and they've been, everybody wants it. So now there is a much higher ownership of these not as liquid assets as there was before the Great Recession we had. Much higher ownership of these in these ETFs and bond funds because they've become very, very popular. Now, what happens if all of a sudden someone, as a lot of someones, want to redeem these, they want to sell their ETF or the bond fund? What do you think happens when you sell your bond fund and you want your money before that? What do you think the bond fund does? Now, in a perfect world, they always maintain a cushion so they can always give you your money immediately without any issues. But what happens if there's a lot of people all of a sudden want their money back all at the same time? They then have to go and sell the underlying bonds that they hold. Who do they sell them to if everybody else is selling in a panic? And if that's the case, what do you think the price will? What do you think the prices of those things are going to do, regardless of the interest rate? Because there's also supply and demand factors for these things. Supply and demand. So what happens when someone wants to redeem, millions of people want to redeem $1 trillion worth of bond funds? Those things are going to fall like stones. You're not going to be able to get what you thought the value was at the time that you asked to sell it. They have to physically go sell it to somebody to get the money. What if there's no one to sell it to? Or there might be someone, you know what they'll be, is there'll be Warren Buffett sitting there picking up all these things real cheap. That's what will happen. But my point is, these are not the most liquid markets, some of these bond funds. And so it's not going to take a lot of worry, investors to redeem them to cause a problem. And that is something the Fed is looking at, the Federal Reserve. It's a financial issue that could be turned into a crisis. Now, I don't want you to panic or anything. There's no reason to get excited about it at this point. But there is reason to think about it. that, you know, this is a possibility. That's why I don't like, and remember, there's several reasons why I don't like to buy bond funds right now. Of course, and you've heard my reasons. But another one is how liquid is that market really? Unless you're talking about U.S. Treasuries, which is very liquid. Other places, you know, the other parts of that bond sector are not as liquid. And you have to understand where you are. 888-99-CHARGE, how to get through. And questions anytime you want. David, call from San Francisco.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, about financials, is this a good place to short financials? Thanks for the information, guys.
Okay, first of all, everybody knows what shorting is. That means you expect it to go down and you'll make money if it does. So he's saying financials, his assumption is that they're overpriced. And if they're overpriced, well, maybe we can make money on the downside. That when they fall further, or when they fall, maybe we can make some money. And my personal opinion is probably not. I don't think I'd be shorting these financials at this point. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think that whole sector is that overpriced. There's a lot more overpriced sectors than the financials. And I'm assuming you're saying that because the Fed's going to maybe raise interest rates. Well, I think that the Fed is going to raise rates, but I do also think that the financial, well, that's already built in. Everybody knows that already. So I don't, you know, does that mean that these places, you know, are they overpriced, this whole sector? I don't think so. Goldman Sachs, PE is 11. Okay, Morgan Stanley, PE is 29, that's high. UBS, let's see what UBS is, 18. JP Morgan, PE is 11. Wells Fargo is four. Yeah, I mean, it's just not, you know, I don't know if the whole sector is like overvalued and you should be exiting necessarily. And therefore, you should be out of it and sell it short because the prices are high. Now, it's obviously going to be stock specific, but the overall financial sector, I don't think it's a time to short it, really. I don't. The $1 billion overdraft fee, $1 billion. Coming up on InvestTalk Personal next half hour. I hope you'll stay with us on InvestTalk. Online TV is changing the way we watch TV, and since it's changing the way we watch TV, it's also changing the way advertisers react. What are all those changes? Okay, pay TV growth is going to slow because it's already saturated. So when you're thinking about pay TV, when I'm talking about cable companies and satellite companies, don't expect growth to be very much there. So that's just not going to happen because they're saturating the market. But viewers are going to get and will want more. They want more high-quality TV. And have you heard of this new phenomenon called binge watching? That's getting more popular. They'll want more of that. Okay, so how's that going to impact? The viewers are going to want to be able to watch TV when, where, and how they want to watch it. They're going to be more demanding of that. Instead of, well, here's a bunch of stations. Good luck. I hope you like them. No, that's not how it's going to change. More and more will be, I want to watch this, I want to watch this now, and that's it. And streaming advertising dollars are 97% of all advertising dollars is through TV, right? I mean, 97%. But streaming live, it's going to change that. More and more advertising dollars are going to go there. And don't forget, there's going to be TV on your phone as well. These are major changes coming. So what companies are going to benefit? Which companies are not going to benefit from this? That's where your thinking should be as an investor. And well, my thought is content. My thought is, well, where are they going to get all this content from? You know, because there's going to be more and more demand for content. And therefore, who's producing the content? And then I think about, well, there's Disney and ABC. They produce a lot of content. And then there's Discovery with all those cable shows they have. They're going to produce a lot of content. And are they going to be able to recycle that and make more money on that? Wait a minute. If you're going to watch TV streaming live, they're going to have higher speed internet, aren't you? Who's got the highest speed internet? Who's ready for that? I don't know. You just start thinking of different aspects of, you know, advertising. Okay, well, who's big advertisers? And first name comes to my mind I think Google's going to be very popular going down the road. I think it's just going to get bigger on their advertising dollars if they continue to move online advertising and search engines and, you know, all that other stuff. I don't know. What do you think? Our phone number is always open to any of your questions, whether you are a new listener or a new investor or someone who has a much more complex question. Go ahead and call 888-99-CHARGE. If it's too complex, I won't be able to answer it. 888-992-4278. You can call anytime.
This is Chris from Mississippi. I'm calling about a stock that Steve talked about yesterday. That's BPT. It's a Prudhoe Bay Royalty Trust, BP. And I was wondering, I have three different accounts. I have a Roth, I have a rollover IRA, and I just have a joint investment account. What tax-wise would be the best account if I wanted to purchase this to put that in? That's BPT. Thanks.
Well, if you're a long-term investor and you know that you're just going to keep it and live off the dividend yield because it's a high dividend paying, you might want to put it in your tax advantage accounts. You know, I always say there's also a reason to go to the other extreme. If you're not a long-term investor and you're a short-term high-growth investor, you want to put that in your tax advantage account. So it depends on, you know, how long, what's your horizon on this? Is it for years and years and years? Now, remember, this is BP, Prudhoe Bay Royalty Trust, overriding royalty interests of about 16% of crude oil coming out of the BP Alaska. Okay, so there, it's a dividend play. They pay about 13% right now, and the stock P is only 6. Now, why would it be so low? Why would it be so low? Try to remember these royalty trusts. If they're holding interest in a trust, that means they're getting money from the oil, working oil. If this particular one is working oil wells, what's the lifespan of those oil wells? How long will they be around? And you'll find as they get closer and closer to expiration, you know, the prices will go down. It's a $65 stock right now with a 6 PE. That's pretty low. Growth rate, though, is very meek, 6% in the last quarter, down 7% the quarter before that. Before that, growth was very high. So, what's your purpose? How long do you want to hold on to it? And, you know, if your purpose is to live off that income, and if you have tax write-offs and the dividend yield is not going to be taxed at a high rate, maybe you don't want to put it in the tax advantage account. You got to think about all the different parameters that it will affect. You can't just say, well, which one would be better, this one, or this one? Well, it depends on you. What tax bracket are you in? Are you retired? Your income is very low, and therefore maybe you'll put this in a taxable account. See, it depends. I wish I could have, I'm sorry, there's just no one answer depending on what's going on. Appreciate the call. BPT, B, P as in Paul, T as in Tom. Time for InvestTalk Personal, the day-to-day money choices we make that can make and have a lasting impact. How about a billion-dollar overdraft fee? Now, that's the bank's charge you. The bank has charged $1.1 billion in overdraft fees. And you know what the average overdraft fee cost is? It's $35. $35. And we're talking about just the biggest bank, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. They made $1.1 billion in overdraft fees in the first 3 months of the year. Okay, so you need to be very careful. You know the most common overdraft problem is you're taking more money out than you have in your account at the local ATM. And did you know most people don't even know that they gave permission to charge them that if they take too much money out? You need to say, no, you can't allow, I don't want you to, I'm not giving you permission to pay, they let me take more money out than I have in account. You need to change that. For, yeah, just so you know, that's about $20 for every adult American in the United States a year. Why would you give these big banks that kind of money? And most of it, I guarantee it, most of it is probably not done on purpose. It's done on accident. Well, some of this you can avoid easily by saying no to the permission to overdraft on ATM balance. No. Go to your bank and say, no, I don't want you to give you permission to pay me more than what's in my account. I want to be able to not be able to draw money out. How's that? Now, banks have recently have been charged or been required to divulge their charges for overdraft. The biggest banks, you know, have these big, huge fees for these things. But it's something you need to keep an eye on. You. This is money down the drain that you don't need to do. That's InvestTalk Personal. If you have questions or comments on this topic or any other money matter, it's time to check in. You can do it right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is your one-hour appointment with the money managers to help you do your retirement right. If you have questions about your 401k, your IRA, or are mutual funds best for you, or should you be thinking about investing in individual stocks? What's the difference between a broker and a portfolio manager? This is your hour. Call in with your question, 888-99-CHART, and get in on InvestTalk.
Hi, my name's Gary. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to your show via podcast, iTunes. My question today is on Bed Bath & Beyond. The symbol would be BBY. Where do you see this stock trading in about a year's time? Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, I'm thinking that the stock is probably worth about $35 to $40. And, of course, it's $35.07. So I'm going to say at the most, I would give it a $40 value in a year. I don't see it going much higher than that. Why? Why do I say that? Well, because, first of all, sales have been shrinking very slowly for the last eight out of the last nine quarters. One quarter it grew 1%. Last four quarters, one of the quarters it grew 1%, and then each quarter it fell 1% per quarter. So the sales are really, really, really flat. So you buy, okay, maybe it pays a good dividend. Well, it pays 2.6% dividend. Okay, well, are the earnings going up? Yes, the earnings have been rising, but they're going to make $2.81 next year, $2.50 this year, $2.60 last year, $2.07 the year before, $2.55 the year before. Well, that's not very exciting. It's pretty much flat. So what is its stock worth? Well, it's not worth more than a 15 PE, and it's going to make $2.81. Okay, so what's that worth? Okay, 40, maybe 45 at the most. I can't see. I'm thinking more like closer to 40. So I wouldn't buy it. It has no interest to me. I have no interest in buying this stock. It's just not one that you probably should want to buy. You know, if the dividend maybe was twice what it is, then it's something. But it's not. It's not. It's too weak. Time for InvestTalk Personal. Oh, we already did that, didn't we? My mistake. Sorry about that. Let's talk about statistics out this week. Economic statistics. I love economic statistics. I live and breathe economic statistics, and I probably shouldn't, but I do. Income for April, income was up 0.4%. That was better in April than expected. So that's good news. How about spending? Flat. No increase whatsoever. Remember, our economy is driven by the consumer. What he does, what drives our economy. Does the consumer have a job? Is he spending money? Is he spending more money than he had before? Is his income growing? Well, income's growing, but he's not spending it. And that's been pretty much the story for the year. Okay, then the other part is, well, how about inflation of our economy? Is it starting to perk up yet? Nope, up 0.1%. They expect it to be up 0.2%. This is core inflation. It's only up 0.1%. That's nothing. That's probably too low. And then there's the ISM, Institute of Supply Management, and anything over a reading over 50% means economy is expanding. Anything below 50%, it means economy is shrinking. And there's two parts of the ISM, one's for manufacturing, and one is for the service sector. And we here in the United States are more service sector dominant than we are manufacturing dominant. So what were those numbers? They came out this week for April. Well, ISM manufacturing was up 52.8. So that was up month over month. How about the service sector? Well, they expected it to be 57.0, and it was a month before. The month before was 57.8. So they expected it to be down just a tad, 57. Instead, it was 55.7. Remember, anything above 50 is expansion. But we all look for that. You're always looking for, is there a change in the direction? That's what you're looking for. And, of course, the ADP number we talked about before came in at 201,000 new jobs. So more jobs are still being produced. So why doesn't it feel like we're doing very good? Well, GDP in the first quarter shrank. It's going to rebound in the second quarter, but so far the numbers are saying not by a lot it is not. And this is the last month in the second quarter. So we've now getting April's. Remember, there's three months and a quarter. We already have, we already have April. We're now looking at May. Where these are all May numbers. Most of these are for May numbers. Not April, my mistake. Therefore, now we're into June, so we're looking at May, and May numbers are better than April's, but April's wasn't that strong. So what you're doing is saying, yeah, we're going to have a rebound, but it's not going to be that strong. So is that going to be a problem for us? Well, we're growing. Jobs are still growing, and as long as those keep growing, we'll have more consumers with money to spend, right? It's never easy. I've got a couple of dates this month for my portfolio reviews, and I'm telling you, we're filling up fast. I can do just a few of these every day. So you and I can go over your retirement accounts, and we'll talk about our programs and whether you're interested in having us as your money manager or not. And if I can be a help in any way, I will. In San Ramon, June 16th, and San Jose on June 17th. So the Savior Hour. Just go to investtalk.com and click on make an appointment. Now, important topics, annuities, wills, trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, updated ETF lists, and more. For our InvestTalk insiders, we have a series of these info sheets written by Justin and myself. All these topics. All you have to do is sign up on investtalk.com. Remember, annuities, wills, trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, and ETF list free, all free. InvestTalk.com. All you do is sign up. It doesn't take very little time. You don't have to divulge anything. 888-99-CHARTER is our number.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. The Hour is all about finding opportunities in foreign and emerging markets. The takeaway is useful knowledge. Invest an hour with Steve and Justin for our live webinar. This is a one-hour session about global investing. It's Thursday, June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It is free. But you do need to sign up. Register on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. I got an email from Lionel. Lionel, this is for you. Lionel says, my company offers a 401k through Fidelity, and they automatically put me in a generic Fidelity Freedom 2050-2055 target-dated fund. And he's young, and he says, why don't you recommend like a balance of different funds for young people, and just say if you're going to be, you wanted to do X, Y, Z, these are the funds you should have, or this is the areas you should be. I wish I could do that, Lionel, but I can't, because everybody's different. The SEC has some rules that, you know, I'm supposed to know my client before I make any recommendations, individual stocks, and I think they would have a problem with me saying, you know, for all you people in 401ks and you're young, do this. I don't think that would be very, that would fly. Now, when you're young, you tend to want to be more aggressive. And he sent, made recommendations to him based on the 35 fund choices he has in his 401k, which he had a goodly amount of spread in the various areas. So I could make that suggestion. But, you know, on the radio here, all I can say is, you know, if you're a young person, you probably should be more aggressive. But then what if you are not an aggressive young person? You don't want to be. You want to be less aggressive. Well, see, I need to talk to you. You can be less aggressive, but I need to see what you have in your 401k, what's available, and how to make you less aggressive. You know, so I can't make blanket statements over the radio based on, well, if you're young and you need to be aggressive, this is what you should do. Not necessarily so. And you may not have the choices, enough choices in the 401k. By the way, I think that's changing. I really think, what we see in the industry, we at KPP Financial, we see the 401k industry changing over the next few years, in which people are going to have more choices, but they're also going to have professional help like my firm and firms like my firm to help them have better selection of mutual funds, better solutions. Because we have history and studies have proven over and over and over and over again, people need help because they buy high and sell low in their 401ks. Their average return is half of what the average money manager's return, less than half of the average index fund. Yet they're buying index funds. How can that be? They're buying index funds, but their performance is less than half. How's that possible? Because they buy high and sell low. They panic out when everything falls apart, and then they get in when everything's already recovered. It's not a guess. I'm telling you the facts. So the government has recognized that maybe they need some help finally and allow them to choose you, the 401k guy, to choose if you want help or not. It's up to you. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Is the Fed going to raise rates in June? Probably not. They're meeting this month. They're probably not going to raise rates. The chances of them raising rates in September are pretty good. I personally feel that they may not raise rates in September because it's going to obviously depend on the numbers, and I don't know how healthy we are going to be, healthy meaning economically. I do think our economy is going to grow. But I don't know if it's going to be strong enough to support a rate rise. And what are the reasons for them to raise the rates? Just to normalize interest rates is the only reason I can see, because there is no inflation, the economy is not expanding too fast, and those are the two primary reasons why the Federal Reserve would raise rates, to kill inflation or to slow down the economy because it's overheating. Do we have inflation? No. Is the economy overheating? No. So why they would even consider raising rates? Because they're really low. That's why. Is that a good enough reason to raise rates? And I think the Federal Reserve is going to ask itself that very question. Do we have enough financial stability to raise the rates? Is there enough? And if we raise them, will that produce instability? You see, they're between a rock and a hard place here. And I've said that before. Same rock, same hard place. Before we close for the hour, a reminder to sign up now for our June 4th webinar. By the way, June 4th is tomorrow. Tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be an hour. We're looking for bargains in emerging and foreign markets. How do you find them? We're going to try to help you do that. So join us. Sign up at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.